you'll join me now in the responsive reading on page 120, Psalm 124 on page 846. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when the foes rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away and the torrent would have gone over us. Then the raging waters would have gone over us. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Our second reading from the Bible comes from the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, if you will. From the book of Esther, chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, 9 and 10, and then continuing on, chapter 9, verse 20 through 22. Esther is one of those heroes of the Old Testament. It is a rare woman whose work is recognized. There were many women throughout biblical times who did good things for God, but this is one who is recognized in canon. I don't know if you're like me, but when I was a little guy and growing up, I would hear these stories of the Bible and I would be interested, but confused. A lot of them are mysterious. There's an awful lot of information and context. We can't describe all of that in worship service, but I hope that it might serve as impetus for you to want to know more about the Bible. And I would encourage you to join us on Thursday nights or Sunday mornings or at any other time, if we can find a time, to study the Bible and have it make more sense to you. But let us together now turn to page 427 in the Hebrew Bible of your pew Bible and hear this story about Queen Esther. So the king and Haman went in to feast with Queen Esther. On the second day, as they were drinking wine, the king said again to Esther, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom it shall be fulfilled." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have won your favor, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me. That is my petition. And the lives of my people, that is my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have held my peace, but no enemy can compensate for this damage to the king." Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is he and where is he who has presumed to do this?" Esther said, "A foe, an enemy, this wicked Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs in the attendance on the king, said, "Look, the very gallows that Haman had prepared for Mordecai, whose word saved the king, stands at Haman's house, 50 cubits high." And the king said, "Hang him on that." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the anger of the king abated. Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, enjoining them that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and also the 15th day of the same month, year by year, as the days on which the Jews gained relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another, and presents to the poor. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And let us now turn to the epistle. The letter of James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. This is in the New Testament of your pew Bible on page 217, if you'd like to follow along. And through the last several weeks, including last week when Bill was here to preach, we've been looking at the letter from James with lots of good advice for the people of the first century, but also for the people of the 21st century. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. Just as with the James readings, we've been marching through Mark as well. You can find this on page 42 in your pew Bible in the New Testament. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want you to do something for yourself right now. I want you to close your eyes and take 3 full, deep breaths. Close your eyes. 3 deep breaths. I want you to think about the most important person in your life. I'm guessing that this is the person you love the most, and that this is the person who loves you the most. Hold that person in your mind and in your heart right now. And you can open your eyes. I want you to think about the special relationship that you share with this person. Isn't it true that you want to spend time with this person every chance you get? Isn't it true that you would gladly give anything you have to this person? Isn't it true that this person would be there for you no matter what happens, in good times and bad times? In order to keep that relationship strong and healthy, isn't it true that you need to communicate with this person on a regular basis, several times every day? Think about this most important person in your life. My sisters and brothers, the most important person in your life is God. You may well have had somebody else in mind when I asked you to identify that person, a husband or a wife, a good friend or a lover, or a close relative maybe. Maybe you got sidetracked when I said the most important person in your life. Whatever the case, when you really consider the question, I believe that you will have to come to the same conclusion. God is the most important person in your life. Friends and lovers, relatives, and even spouses can die before you do. Many of you know all too well what I'm talking about. But you will never be without God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, whatever name or whatever image you use to describe or to visualize God, no matter what happens to you in life or in death, God will always be there for you. So back to my original idea for you to consider. Think about that special relationship you share with God. Well, okay, maybe your relationship with God is not as good as you know it ought to be. Think about the relationship with God that is possible for you. Last Sunday, when Bill Mitchell preached, he called your attention to the reading from James, where he said, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you." I understand what James is saying, but I want you to be clear on one point. God is not waiting until you draw near before God makes the first move. No, God is always right there, closer than the inside of your eyelid, closer than your next breath, closer than your next heartbeat. God is always right there. In good times and in bad times, God is always right there for you. Earlier I asked you this question, isn't it true that you would gladly give anything you have to this most important person? In your heart of hearts, you really understand that everything you have, everything you own, everything you are, every accomplishment you have ever achieved, everything, even your very own life, is a gift from God. And because every thinking Christian person knows this to be absolutely true, why is it that so many good Christian people have such a hard time pledging to give a mere 10% of their money, God's money, back to God to support God's ministries in this church? Earlier, I asked you this question. Isn't it true that you want to spend time with this person every chance you get? The Bible tells us that we are to keep God's Sabbath holy. Why is it that so many good Christian people have such a hard time coming to Sunday worship on a regular basis? God is here every Sunday. Are you? Finally, I asked you another question earlier. In order to keep that relationship strong and healthy, isn't it true that you need to communicate with this person on a regular basis, several times every day? My friends, this is prayer, plain and simple, communicating with God on a daily basis. Communication is the only way to keep a relationship strong and vibrant. It's kind of funny. People have come to me and said, "Pastor, I don't know how to pray." Well, I've watched every one of you talk to each other before and after the worship service. Some of you even talk during the worship service. So I know that you know how to carry on a conversation. And that's what God is asking of you, that you simply talk with God and listen for God's reply. It is the simplest and yet the most intimate of all relationships, this bond of prayer. When asked directly, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. You remember the Lord's Prayer? For a lot of people, this is a great place to start in their practice of daily prayer. And I want to pray it together now, right here, together. But as you pray, I want you to think about what you're saying. Notice that first and foremost, Jesus would have us pray to God, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then we go on to ask God for the things that we need for each day of living. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you turn to James, we find some more wonderful advice for how it is we ought to live together and how it is we ought to pray together. James says, "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with the oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven." Any sinners out here this morning? I thought so. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." Faithful prayer is most effective and most powerful when we ask God to lead us into kingdom living. When we ask God to help those people around us who need God's help, that truly pleases the Lord. My sisters and brothers, think about it. The most important person in your life is God. God is always right there for you whenever you need God, which is all the time. God loves you more than anyone else, and God wants to be in strong and intimate relationship with you. My friends, it is time to attend to this important relationship. And it begins with this: God wants to talk with you. Faithful prayer makes all the difference in life. Amen.